The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, a fourth government minister has resigned as Keir Starmer continues to fight for survival in Westminster. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Lewis Goodall of the News Agents podcast. Good evening to you, Lewis. 87 MPs so far have demanded Keir Starmer to go. Where are we at?
Well, we are in a bit of a Mexican standoff, effectively. We've got the Prime Minister essentially saying to his opponents, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. They're basically saying to them that I think I've got enough residual support within the Parliamentary Labour Party to forestall and to withstand any potential challenges. There's a scenario this morning, which everyone was talking about, which is that the Prime Minister turns up to Cabinet and says, look, I've listened to opinion in the Parliamentary Labour Party, I've listened to opinion from my ministerial colleagues, here's the timetable. Keir Starmer, who has often had an underestimated ironclad will, is deciding instead to face down his critics, avoided speaking to his ministerial colleagues all day, and has basically said to them that if they want his job, they're going to have to come and get it by force.
Okay, so he's sort of calling their bluff. He's leaning back into procedure and saying, well, to challenge me, you need to have somebody saying they'll step forward and have a go, as you say. Is that likely to happen? And you know, there's three names, it seems to me, in the hat, one of whom isn't even an MP. So what do you see playing out here if he's not going to just fall on his sword and creep away? Of course, 100 MPs have signed a letter of support for Starmer as well.
Look, indeed. I mean, look, what is all now essentially about is the delicate dance between Wes Streeting, the Health Secretary, who was the Prime Minister's job, and it is notable that many of the supporters, including the Fourth Minister that you just referred to, are allies of Wes Streeting. And Andy Burnham, as you say, Mayor of Greater Manchester, not in Parliament, needs time to get into Parliament. Streeting wants a quick contest in order to try and contest it now, because he knows that if time passes and there is a lengthy contest, then Burnham can use that time to try and inveigle himself back into Parliament, and he would almost certainly win in any ensuing leadership election among Labour Party members. So basically, you've got that dance between the two of them, and all of this is taking place on the backdrop of an extraordinary moment, which is that, you know, we talked all that time during the Conservative years of unprecedented political moments and ebbing political authority for prime ministers. That was all true. This is all taking place against the backdrop on the eve of the King's Speech, the state opening of Parliament tomorrow, when all of Westminster, all of the British Constitution will descend on the Palace of Westminster in their sort of finest flummery, their silliest ermine and costumes, and the King will read out a series of proposals basically written for him by the Prime Minister, and everyone is going to have to pretend that none of this is happening, when at the same time they all know that the very proposals the King is going to read out may never happen because the authority won't be there for the Prime Minister who has instructed them to even take place.
Okay. Is the King's Speech useful to Keir Starmer? Is it a welcome distraction in some ways and a little bit of a stay?
Well, I think what the Prime Minister in number 10 is betting on is that if they can get through to tomorrow, then basically all of this politicking on a public level just sort of stops. Because you can't possibly have a situation where you've got basically the sort of big constitutional moments of the political year in Westminster, and you've got ministers still resigning. I mean, maybe you can, but that would add to the sense of complete chaos and calamity and collapse of this Labour government. And I suppose what number 10 is betting is that enough Labour MPs won't want to create that impression, and so all of that goes into abeyance, and maybe the momentum for now at least. So that's clearly the calculation.
Okay, so from what you're saying, if you can get to tomorrow, that gives him a subtle bit of breathing space. Does that mean that Streeting has something of a window here, that he needs to act and seize the moment if he's going to act?
I think Wes Streeting needs to do something in the next 2 hours. And if not, as somebody from the Burnham camp was putting to me just before speaking to you, if we can get through today, Andy at some point will be Prime Minister.
Okay. Andy Burnham, the speediest entrance to Parliament, I would imagine, if somebody does step aside, fall on their sword for him, a safe Labour seat, if such a thing exists. 6 weeks, is that how long it would take for him realistically to actually enter Parliament, likelihood?
I think it could take quite a long time. I mean, look, this is potentially Keir Starmer's other great play here. He could say, or he could indicate, that he would change his position and allow, and think it would be a good idea for Andy Burnham to stand in a by-election, that would buy the Prime Minister an enormous length of time, potentially, or in political terms at least, which could, he could say, well, that by-election first has to come about. Now, presumably Burnham has got a plan for that. Then the government has to move the writ. That could take for the by-election to take place. That could take 4 weeks, could take 6 weeks if it's in the government's gift. Then you have to have a by-election campaign. That's 4 to 6 weeks. You know, you could be looking at the summer, at which time the Prime Minister could turn around to Burnham and go, Andy, fantastic to have you back in Parliament, me old mate. How about a cabinet job? And is Burnham going to start a leadership campaign on, or a leadership election on day one? So that would suggest, if that timeline comes to pass, Starmer might be around for some time yet.
Okay. So in your view, taking all that into account, as I say, a window for West Riding, either act now or forever hold your peace, sort of a moment. Yeah. But are you saying that there is potential here for Starmer to just about survive?
I don't think in the long term, look, I don't think a Prime Minister can survive so many of your own MPs, and believe me, it's far more than the ones who have publicly declared, so many of your ministers internally plotting to remove you. Look, when Jess Phillips, who's a safeguarding minister, very well known and well respected inside the Labour movement, she summed it up today, which is that this is quite unusual. I mean, this is very unusual for the Labour Party, full stop. The Labour Party doesn't usually get rid of its leaders or try to in such a public fashion. The reason this is happening is because from across the factions is that internally within the Labour Party, there is profound dissatisfaction and a belief that Keir Starmer does not have the political bones, the political chops to do the job, that there is a sort of inertia, a passivity at the heart of government that he cannot and will not spell out what the Labour Party is for and who it is for. And that is not going to change. She says in the pursuit, in her resignation letter, she says words to the effect of saying that in the pursuit, we too often avoid having an argument and therefore we're never able to deploy one, which holds us back as a government. And that is, I think, a diagnosis that is at the heart of many Labour MPs' actions and isn't going to go away even if Starmer survives for a few weeks and months.
Okay. And maybe lastly, on that note of what Jess Phillips was saying about his inability to sort of define what the Labour Party stands for and to get that message to land with the electorate in the first place, obviously disastrous results from the local elections. The rhetoric that he's coming out with about getting closer to Europe, etc., you know, I presume this is to provide some kind of a counterpoint to Nigel Farage's for reform. But is that being well received? There are lots of people who within the UK have gone sour on Brexit. Is he picking his battles cleverly, do you think, or not?
Well, of course, Keir Starmer made his name in the Labour Party by promoting Remain, promoting a separate referendum, then dropping it like a stone when it was no longer very politically saleable. So in a sense, it's kind of an old reflex for Starmer when he's in trouble to kind of pull on this lever. Look, there are lots of people within the Labour Party who would dearly like to move close to Europe. There are lots of people in the Labour Party who would like to ultimately rejoin the EU if it were a possibility. I think, however, that all of that said, and there are lots of people as well who would like to take the fight to Farage, as a feeling that, you know, this is Nigel Farage's signature contribution to British public life. Most of the British public are unhappy about it. Why not talk about it a bit more? But an old Tory strategist used to say, you can't fatten a pig on market day. You can't just turn around to the public and suddenly go, right, Brexit's been a disaster. Let's do this. Not least when so many of the councils and seats where Reform did extremely well the other day were in heavily Brexit backing areas. So if you're going to take that argument in those places about which lots of Labour MPs will be pretty squeamish or worried, then you've got to have some pretty compelling arguments and you've got to have a guy who makes them compellingly. And again, it circles back. Is Starmer the guy to do that? Lots of Labour MPs don't think that he is. He doesn't have the communication ability.
And maybe lastly, Lewis, from looking at this across from this side of the Irish Sea, it would appear to us that the British political establishment has been in convulsions really since Brexit. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, in general, across the board?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you've seen repeatedly the two-party system fraying. And I think that means that the Labour and Conservative parties panic more and try and kind of sift through options, trying to see what might resurrect it, what might revive it. I also think, you know, like a lot of the rest of Europe, where you're seeing other similar sort of political instability, you know, we're seeing the very long tail of economies which aren't as productive as they should be, where living standards have stagnated for 20 years. The public just absolutely impatient to see those living standards and that stagnation reversed. And every time they seem to pull on a lever and go through a different political option, nothing seems to quite do the trick. So I think that that is just yielding to an ongoing political instability, which it seems very acute in Britain, but is by no means confined to Britain.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a very, very interesting 24, 48 hours. Thank you very much for joining us. That is Lewis Goodall there of the News Agents Podcast.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.